Thank God. Let's take a moment and let's look at your sheet. For the sake of time, I'm going to go through a few scriptures. How many of you weren't here last week? How many of you, you may not even remember, how many of you weren't here last week or the week before? Okay, so we'll just see it. We're just going to do some recap. I want to do some recap anyway, but the first two messages are online. That's why they're there, so you can take advantage of them. So, I can't re-preach those two messages, or we'd be here for 2 hours, and we wouldn't have even touched this, probably. So, we don't want to do that, but we're going to just go through a few scriptures and then move on. We're going to go in the same vein, but a little bit different direction. So, we looked at Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the first week we talked about keep in your mind, another translation says, fix your thoughts on these things. To keep your mind fixed on these things. So we talked about fixing your thoughts on these things as we come into this new year. There are things that God has for us, and we want to fix our thoughts there, not be pushed to the right or to the left, because we know challenges are going to come, and a good deal of the Christian walk is just keeping your mind on what it needs to be on. Think about it. If you don't think on the wrong thing, you're not going to get pushed off. You're not going to be tempted to do the wrong thing. If your mind is on God continually, it's going to be very hard to rip into your spouse. It's going to be hard to go steal something. If you say, well, I won't go steal something. Okay, why don't you? You don't think about it. You don't give it thought. You dismiss it. But for some people, that's a real problem. Why? Because they think on it. They go over it and over it. But we talked about that. Another translation says, fix your thoughts, like we said. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 there, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we talked about that we need to cast down the things that contradict what God has told us. So we fix our minds on the right things, and then we need to cast down things when they come into our mind that are contradictory. Thought pops up and says, that person doesn't like you. Anybody ever met somebody, you've been just, introduced to them a little while you're talking to them, and the thought is like, well, they don't like you. If you take that as true, you will start acting like that, and pretty soon the person doesn't like you because you're acting like they don't like you, and there's something about that that's repulsive to people. They're like, there's something negative there, but if you just act, no, I believe people like me. I believe I'm a child of God, and whether or not you like me, my self-esteem is not based on that. So even if you don't like me, God likes me. And no disrespect, but he's more important than you. So I'm going to act like I like you. I mean, I'm going to be fine in your presence because I am fine in your presence. And regardless of what you think, I'm okay. Well, you come off like that, people can still dislike you, but they're not going to dislike you for the wrong reasons. They're not disliking you because you basically have talked yourself into them not disliking you. So we cast down arguments. And as we talked about, how as we go through this year, casting things down that would contradict what God has told us to do. Then we went to Revelation, spent some more verses on this, and read how it says, Revelation 12:7 says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. They did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. his angels were cast out with him. We read several definitions of deceive. One of them being to cause to think on things that aren't true. To cause to think on things that aren't true. When you're deceived, you're meditating, your mind is being consumed with something that is false. If you're deceived in a business deal, you think it's one way, but it's really another way. People that are deceived into committing adultery, they somehow think that's going to bring them more pleasure than being faithful to their spouse. They're thinking on something that is not true. And in this line, then, we talked about last week how the enemy, Satan, is a deceiver. We just read that. He's called the deceiver. This is what he does. He goes around causing men to think on things that aren't true. He's swaying the world. The Bible says in one place that the world is under the sway of the devil. He is the god of this world. He's a deceiver. He causes men to think that there's no God. He causes men to think that there are other ways to heaven than Jesus. Those are all deceptions. Those are false ways. Where God loves so, he loves people so much, he would never send anybody to hell. Deception, that's not true. Bible clearly teaches there's a heaven and a hell. So the devil brings about deceptions. We talked about last week how one of the ways, or not one of the ways, but we want to be very careful what we let in, because we can be deceived when we're letting things in that are inspired by a world's way of looking or godless people. You know, your music that you listen to, TV shows, movies, who you hang around, it has an influence on you, and it can bring thoughts across your path that don't even need to be in there, cause you to think on things. So we got to be very careful what we look at and hear and we let in. So the first week we talked about keeping your mind fixed. The second week we talked about avoiding certain things that are, if you avoid certain things, it's going to help you keep your mind fixed, because you're not going to have to deal with thoughts. You're not going to have to cast down as many thoughts when you're not letting junk in. If you never see the junk, you don't have to cast it down. That's one way to keep yourself from dealing with that. This week, I want to focus on to keep your thoughts fixed. Of course, we said last week we want to keep it on good things, not bad things. I want to go into that more this morning, because part of us staying strong and being able to cast these things down is keeping the word before us staying strong. It's not so much the outward pressure that defeats us so many times. It's that our inward strength has gotten low. That is vital. So you can, in other words, even if you're avoiding certain things, if all you do is sit at home and you don't let the word in and you start feeling sorry, so you could avoid certain things of the world, and that goes a long way to helping you. But if you don't put vitamins, spiritual vitamins in and build yourself up, you can still get weak to where the thoughts come, thoughts from the past, thoughts from old habits, and they come up and they can still defeat you because you're not putting the word in. And this is just something, as part of the Christian life, we got to make sure we're strong and putting the word in. Have any of you ever seen that science experiment? This is exactly what we're talking about today, where you take a gas can, like in chemistry or science they do this, physics, they have a gas tank. They probably wouldn't let a gas can in a classroom today, but an empty gas can, and they heat it, and then they put the top on it. So they heat it so that all the air is hot in there, which when hot or air gets hot, it expands. So there's less air when the can's hot, and then they put the cap on. Now when the can cools, there's less air in there. Now, the can, you watch it. They put it on the you know, table or whatever, heat it up, put the can on, and just let it sit there. And pretty soon, as that can cools, that can just starts crushing. It looks like somebody is grabbing it and crushing it. But the outward force is actually the atmospheric pressure. What is here all the time. But see, there's no pressure on the inside as much as there was now because you heated that gas or heated the air, let it cool. Now there's less air inside, not enough to push outward. And so normal, everyday, what we're sitting in right now crushes that can. And this is what can happen to Christians. We don't keep stuff going in. We're not putting the Word in. We're not meditating on the Word, keeping that before us. Pretty soon, just normal, everyday life, you get to where I can't handle it anymore. People say, I can't take it anymore. Now, yeah, sometimes that's because there's a lot of things going on the outside, but sometimes there's people just can't cope with normal life. Can't go to a job. Can't deal with just normal stuff. Can't get out of bed. Why? There's nothing on the inside to put pressure, to build up. This is something we need to just keep our minds on, to keep your mind on the Word. You need to put the Word before us, before you. One reason, you're at church this morning. You've come to hear the Word. I don't know about you, but I don't come to church as a religious exercise. I come because I want to hear from the Lord, because He's called me to do this. But we ought to come knowing God has told me to do that. It's part of what He said in His Word, and we're going to be there and get what we need to get, because I know it's vital for keeping me on where I need to be. Reading the Word. As we put the Word into us. Daily. Put some word into you. Every day. So I don't have time for it. Even if you read one verse. Because God can multiply it and speak to you through that. You know, anybody that knows multiplication, 100 times 0 is? How much? What about 1,000 times 0? What about 1,000,000? It's still 0. But what's 100 times 0.5? It's 50. What's 1,000,000 times 0.5? Well, 500,000. You just put a little bit. If we'll just start there and say, we ought to put the Word first. But if you're in the habit of not doing that, put 5 minutes. Read the Word. Just put it in it. You'll be amazed at how God multiplies that. People say, I can't. I don't have time. I don't think that's true. We have time for what we want to have time for. We can put, and it's a deception. This is how the enemy tries to push it. Well, you don't have time for that. You don't have to have time for that. What's happening is inside our meter is going down. And this is how it works. To anyone, you do not reach a point where you don't have to do this anymore. Hallelujah. Let's read some scripture, shall we? 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 says, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We read that last week. Let's go over to Genesis. Way back at the beginning. Genesis chapter 2. Everybody can find Genesis. You give Bible to people that don't ever read the Bible and they can find Genesis. Genesis verse 2. So as we just read, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, what did he do to deceive? What did he do? and why was she deceived? Let's look at that. First of all, in Genesis 2, verse 15. Everybody there? It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.'" And so now Eve wasn't made at this point yet. So he, Adam told, or it doesn't, the Bible doesn't say, either Adam told her or she heard it from God himself, but this was passed on to Eve. She knew about it. So look in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now what happened? The enemy is questioning God's word. This is what he does. He challenges the word of God. He challenges what the word says. In this case, what God spoke. Verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" He's flat out contradicting what God has said and saying it's false. Verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." And we could go on to verse 7. "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." But what did Satan do? He came and said, "It's not true. What he said is not true." In fact, he appealed to the intellect, and he said, verse 4, "You will not surely die." He said, verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." It reminds me of so many of the lies that are going on today. Well, you don't need the Bible. You don't need God. Surely you're more enlightened, more knowledgeable than that. You don't need that crutch. That's not really good if you go that way. The Bible has all these things in it that are archaic and backwards. That's not right. Let us show you the way, the right way and the enlightened way. That's, you see so much of that in society. Does that sound at all like what the serpent is doing here? Let me show you a better way. Oh, that's old-fashioned. Let me show you the modern way. Oh, well, those laws are outdated. Let me show you. How are you going to know what is right and wrong? How are you going to know if something is against the Word of God? We have to know the Word of God. How are we going to know the Word of God? We need to put it in us so that when those thoughts come, that we can cast them down. But we need to know and to be able to discern, because the enemy is subtle. He does this, exactly what we just read. He twists something a little bit. It appeals to your senses, appeals to your flesh, appeals to your mind, and twists it. That's why you need the Word to cut through all that stuff. And we need to stay strong and on guard so that we're not pushed off. Now turn over to Matthew. I'm going to go through a number of scriptures here, just one after another. I believe we'll get through most of them, though. Matthew 4. God is helping us. He'll help us to get what we need this morning. Matthew 4. I want to show you another example of the enemy coming in a similar way in what Jesus did. Our Lord, how he countered. Matthew 4, verse 4, or verse 1, excuse me. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, notice that. The tempter, he'll come to you too. He comes to all of us. He's not going to rest. He is a, like somebody said, he's a persistent cuss. But you need to put him on the run. Don't have to worry. He'll be back in a more advantageous time. But put him, you got to put him in his place every time. How do you do that? What did Jesus do? Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So notice how he countered him. Enemy brought something to him. Satan brought something subtle to him, and he said, no, this is what the word says. Therefore, what you're saying, I will not yield to, it's false. Now, you don't need to know every scripture in the Bible to be effective. You can know half a verse and put the devil on the run. But the more we know, the biggest thing is you just stay full of the word and stay focused on the Lord. And it boils down to pretty simple. In the New Testament, you don't need to know every little law. You need to know to walk in love and say, hey, if I'm wondering if I should do something in a certain situation with a business or whatever, or with a relationship, what would love do? If you know that, you can just filter a lot of stuff. Would I want this done to me? Yes or no? Is this how I want to be treated? And you can filter a lot of stuff. Is this, if the Lord were standing here, would he want me doing that? That you just get your mind on Christ and the Lord, you can just filter a whole bunch of stuff like that. You don't need to know it. But the more words you know, the more we're staying full. The more you stay full. What I don't want you to do is focus on, well, I just got to memorize all these scriptures. That's not my point today. My point is to stay full of the word. Go back to the word. Because the Holy Spirit can lead you in line with the word when you don't even know that's in the Bible. But you can just listen to the inward witness and stay close to God. But if you're not full of the word, staying close to him, you're easier to be tempted to move off. In other words, you haven't been spending any time with the Lord. You haven't looked to him. It's easier for the enemy to push you because you're not full. It's easier for circumstances to push down on you. But verse 4, so Jesus countered him. But I also want to know, it says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, quoting Deuteronomy, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, we're not just natural beings, just eating and drinking. We, to be healthy on the inside, we need to stay full of the words of God. That's like bread. What natural bread is to our outer man, the word of God is to our inner man. If you look at it that way, you just keep putting it in. And a lot of the things you eat, I dare to say most of you eat similar things for most meals daily. You know, you have however many meals in a week. It's probably not different things every time. There are certain things that you prepare over and over. But they nourish you. And if it's a good diet, you just keep eating them. You eat your fruits and your vegetables and grains and meats and whatever. Well, same thing. Word of God, we just keep putting it in. See, people are looking for I want a new word. No, just keep putting the word of God in. The word hasn't changed. Just keep putting the word in. Just keep, well, this is boring. No, just keep putting the word in. That's like, well, I had that last week. I don't want it anymore to eat, physically eat. You cooked that before. I'm not going to eat it. It'll still nourish you. No, we stay full of the word. Just focus on him and stay full of that. Look over, let's look on your sheet. We turned to this scripture last week. 2 Timothy 3:13. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Okay? Things are going to happen. People are going to try to deceive. It's going to get worse. The Bible says, but verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You stay in the word. In verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Notice that. From a childhood, you can know the Holy Scriptures. A little child can know the Scriptures. And ideally, that's the way it ought to be. As a kid, a child, as he grows up, just has the Word fed over and over. We just focus on the Word. As a family, we grow up and focus on the Word of God. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn over to Proverbs 4:20. Thank God. Proverbs 4:20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Notice that right there. Give attention to what? To my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. What does that mean? You're looking towards the word. You're giving effort to put the word in. Your natural, just settle something right now. Your flesh, your natural mind doesn't necessarily want to do this. It's going to grab it, just like your body. Is anybody in here? Now, you may have trained your body. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying just default state. You look at a kid, for instance. Does the child just gravitate to just liking foods that are great for them? If you put, you know, a bunch of green beans and corn on the table and you put some soda and cookies to most kids, you can train your body to where it wants the good things. I'm just talking about default. How many kids are just going to run to the vegetables? Most kids are going to say, goody, I'm going for this and I'm going to eat a lot of it until you stop me. It's on, right? Ed's a teacher. He could attest to this, I'm sure. Of course, they don't let half the stuff in the classrooms today, but that's where our flesh goes. Our flesh, your flesh, if you just let it go, sit in front of the TV until you tell me to stop, I'm going to sit there, I'm going to sit in front of the internet until my eyes are burnt and falling out of my, I'm just going to type and type and type until I just keel over because I can't do it anymore. If you just let your flesh go, I got to go to this link and then this link and then this link and I'm 15 links off where I started. You know, you ever done that? Your flesh just wants to more. It's never satisfied. You notice that? The Bible said your eyes are never satisfied. You can show it over and over. Special effects. And you see one, you're like, yep, I've seen that. Now, give me the next movie. Give me the next blockbuster. I want to see it. It will never be satisfied. Your flesh does not just incline towards, yes, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to read the word because it's good for me. It's the same thing. You're putting good food. Your body would rather eat junk food. Your mind would rather eat junk food. But we can train it so that we want. When you start getting into the word and it starts becoming normal, your spirit is made to want this and it will gravitate towards putting this in, but you still have to discipline yourself to do it. And when you're feeling pretty good, well, I can skip a few days. I can skip a day. The reason you're feeling good is because you've been putting it in. And it's not separate. Your state is not separate from what you've been doing. So that means so you're feeling good, therefore I can afford to skip. But what happens is the reason you're feeling good is because you've been putting it in. When you stop, the process changes and all of a sudden you're decaying, whether you will realize it or not. You might not notice it right away, but the pressure's going down on the inside. And most of the time, you keep doing that, you feel good. And then and you're just dealing with normal pressure on the outside, but the pressure on the inside is going down. If you let it go long enough, that pressure will go down to where natural circumstances will start crushing you. But what happens more often than not is it's going down. You're not doing anything about it, but you feel good. You're not putting any word in, but you can deal with normal life. And then something, more pressure comes in, something that you weren't expecting comes in, and that's enough to knock you off. And now you're feeling like you're scrambling because you have not been putting the word in. And that's why it's so important. Just stay. Just even when you feel like everything's good, just stay and keep a good diet of the word. When you feel like, and I'm not saying this because I'm a pastor, but partly because I am a pastor, because that's my job, you need to come to church even when you don't feel like it. Most of the time, that's when you need to get yourself to church, is when you don't feel like it, because that's a sure sign. If you don't feel like it, it's a sure sign that you need it. That's when you need it the most, because this happens to all of us. When you feel like, I don't want to read my Bible, that's a sure sign you're drifting over here. I just want to sit in front of the TV. Well, okay, that's a sure sign that you've drifted. Your mind and your heart is not stayed on the things of God. You're getting set up. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to get out of bed today. We all feel like that sometimes. I don't want to go. But it's a discipline that you do because you know you need it. You know you want to stay strong and solid. You know you want the Word of God to be strong in your life. So we put it in front of us. And then so many times, oh, I'm so glad I went. Oh, that's just what I needed. I'm so glad I read the Word. That's just what I needed. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Are you getting a picture? For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Are you seeing this? He's saying this is of utmost importance. You keep the word in, you guard your heart, because the issues of life flow out of it. If we'll guard our heart, stay focused. Let's go through verse 21 on again. Do not let them depart from your eyes. You just keep reminding yourself and putting the word in, just like you do with good food. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means you're on it. Oh, I don't feel like it, but I'm on it. This is what I need. I'm going to keep putting it in. For out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Just to keep our hearts full of the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's close Joshua 1:8. Let's go over there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joshua 1:8. Up near the front of your Bible. Thank you, Lord. Joshua 1:8. It says, this book of the law, we read this last week, or we could say the Word of God. That's what they had at this point, is the book of the law. shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That's what we started out with in Philippians. Meditate on these things. Think on these things. He's saying the Word of God, you keep it in front of you. Just what we read in Proverbs. You keep it in front of you. You put it in. You talk about it. You keep focused on it. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. If we're meditating on it, if we're focusing on it, that gives us the power to do it. For then, when you meditate on the Word and you do what the Word of God says, He says, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. Does that give you a picture? That we focus on the Word. We keep it central to our lives. Everything in our lives revolves around God and His Word. And we know we need it. We know there's going to be times we don't want to put it in, but we're going to put it in anyway. We know that we need to keep it central so that we keep healthy and strong and keep that inner pressure up, just up, so that we can not only take normal life, but something comes that took us unexpectedly, that instead of it knocking us off like that, it might jar us, but we stand up and say no, and we start speaking what the Word says, just like Jesus. And start speaking the Word of God, because we're strong on the inside. Amen. Amen. Amen.